just pray as we start. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the amazing things you're doing, Lord, but not just in this house, Lord. We're just praying for our whole community, Lord, this morning, for every church in this community, Father, Lord, that you would just come on them afresh, Lord, that you would just bring, Lord, those that are in their leadership team around them, Lord, up to support them and to build them and to encourage them, Lord. Lord, that you're able, Father, to continue to work, Father, Lord, through each church to reach, Father, the many different people, groups, and types in our community, Father, for your glory. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're here, Lord, in our communities, around here, Father, Lord, doing amazing things, Lord, in our children, and our young people, and our families, and our businesses, Father, and our schools, Lord, and we just want to honor you, Father, for the great things that you are doing. Amen. Always remember to come back and give thanks. Jesus was big on that, and a few people got healed, but not very many come back and said, thank you, Lord, for healing me. Let's turn to Acts chapter 10 today in verse 36. Just a scripture here that I sort of want to really speak into this morning. That's what I really want to talk all about. It's an interesting scripture because I just want to break open some really simple things that we overlook sometimes. And it says this: you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. We all know that. Not just the Holy Spirit. He got anointed with the Holy Spirit. Where at his water baptism, clouds, dove come down, anointed him. He became the Christ. He was led into the wilderness where he was tempted. And then he returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. So there is a process sometimes that we go through where we got to overcome the temptations of the devil. When the devil comes against us really hard, you know, which he did to Jesus. And he threw everything at Jesus. And because Jesus overcome him, he come out with a new authority. He come out with a power that he never had when he went in. Holy Spirit led him out in, but then he come out in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we have to understand that sometimes we got to fight some things that have come from the devil in order to overcome, to grow in our faith and our ability to see God in our lives in a way that we've never seen him before, to actually be able to speak into some situations and shift some things that have, we feel are too big and that we can't, you know, deal to in the past. So it's all about growing. It's all about capacity. It's all about understanding that God is with you and understanding. You can look at some of those scriptures, you know, in there, and we understand that Jesus understood the word. There's no use going into battle against some things just to rebuke and name a whole lot of stuff. It's like the word of God is all you need sometimes to speak into those things. Sometimes we feel out of our depth. Jesus just simply said, that's a lie, Satan. This is actually the truth. You know, you will not tempt God and da-da-da and a whole lot of scriptures that he quoted. So here we see Jesus was anointed, of Nazareth was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good. Say good. He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So he didn't say he was running around healing everybody. He went around actually doing good. And we're going to look at what good is today. Because God says, if you're as earthly fathers know how to give good things, I want you to understand that I can give better good things. How much more will I give you good things? And we need to understand what sort of good things God talks about when he's talking about good. And so Jesus went around doing good things and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. A lot of the healings have got to do with devils, oftentimes. I'll talk some of that in a minute. For God was with him. So Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit and power to do two things. He went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So why did Jesus need the Holy Spirit and power to do good things? The best way to answer that is look at what were the good things that Jesus did. So he taught and demonstrated the kingdom of heaven. So that's what he did. He preached and he taught people everywhere he went, and then he demonstrated it. He turned water into wine. It was a good thing. He did a good thing at the wedding. But it was a miracle. So the good thing he did was a miracle. He ministered, he multiplied the fish and the loaves, and he fed 5,000. He was doing a good thing. Everybody was starving and they were hungry and they had no food and there's no shops or anything around and whatever. So he did a good thing. Still, it was another miracle. Got the disciples or the fishermen to throw their nets over because they've been fishing all day and all night, and he He actually used their boat to preach because he wanted to echo off the water. And he said, can I use your boat? Push me out a wee bit and let me preach to all these people. They're all coming around. Can I borrow your boat? Then he did a good thing. He says, now just throw your nets over the other side. And the nets were that full. They were breaking and they filled up both boats. He just did a good thing. But it was another miracle. I want us to look at the good things that Jesus did because he went around doing good things. We're talking about good things. We're not talking about nice things and saying nice things and, you know, saying nice words and just doing kind things. Now, all of those things are fruits of the Spirit, and we need to be kind and we need to be nice and we need to be generous and we need to say nice things. I know all of that, but I don't want to be a church that just goes around saying nice things and doing nice things and, you know, being fluffy. We don't want to do that. We actually want to do good things that our Father has given us, and we want about to minister them to other people. So God wants to give us some good things so that we can do with these good things some good things to others. Don't know if that's proper, correct English, but anyway. He calmed the stormy seas. He was in the boat, actually, sound asleep, and everybody got worried because the boat was filling up with water. And another time, they were rowing out there in the storm, and they were going to drown, and Jesus come along, so he just thought, well, I need to help these guys here a bit, so he did a good thing. And he spoke to the wind, and it ceased. He just done a good thing. He helped some people out that were in a troubled situation. It just speaks to us that there are storms in life, and people go through some storms in life, and they need someone to come along and speak to the storm. Speak to the situation and close that thing down because it's causing turmoil and strife in their families and whatever else and in people's lives. He just done a good thing, but he needed the power of God and speak to that thing and shift it. Just a good thing. God does good things. Jesus is doing good things. He sent Peter to receive money because they got to pay some taxes and different things and they didn't have enough money. And so he sent Peter down to a fish and says, you know, the fish will have the coins in its mouth. So he went down there, sure enough, grabbed a fish, and here in its mouth was these coins so he could pay his taxes and do the things that he needed to do. It's just like, well, we all got to do that. It's like sometimes we need money. Jesus went around and said, well, I see we need some money to do some things, so we'll just grab some out of the fish's mouth. It's another miracle, but it's still doing a good thing. They're just good things, you know. We look at things and we just think, well, you know, it didn't matter what Jesus was doing. He was just demonstrating, he was just doing good things for people. Sometimes people need finances and they need money and they need all sorts of things. It's like, well, we just need to do a good thing, but the money isn't there. So we actually need to speak into that thing and pray into that thing that the finances that are needed are released, however and wherever they need to be released. And God can give you a word of knowledge. He can give you whatever to speak into those things and to see some things change. It's not beyond us. It's not an impossible thing. It's just a good thing that is required of us because we are the little Jesuses on the earth today. That's us. We are the Christ. You know, he lives in us. We're singing a song there today, you know. The Spirit lives in us, that prophesy. Amazing song. If you look at the words that's actually saying in that, that the Spirit lives in us. So we can actually declare and speak some things because it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. That's power. That's power. It dwells in us, so we can speak some things. So we're singing, prophesy, prophesy, prophesy. So sometimes we got to speak some things out. Dry bones live. Sometimes we've got to speak to some situations. It's like God wants to take us somewhere, church. And I'm excited because I've heard the testimonies this morning, and it's like, let's keep pushing on. We've got a momentum. Just keep pushing on. Just keep praying for one another, ministering to one another, believing with one another for great things and miracles. Whatever's needed, just keep believing it. Teach our kids. Encourage our kids. Pray for the Sunday school. If you're not part of it, still pray for it. That these kids can grasp a hold of this in their hearts at a young age. They can pray for their friends, the young people. As Ben was saying, praying for one another. Begin to see that. It's like running around telling. You see, we're going to look at a scripture in a minute. It says, you know, don't hide your light under a bush or whatever, but go out and do all of these things that people will see your what? Your good works. And then when they see your good works, they're going to glorify God. You see, when we understand what a good work is, it's what Ben is praying for a young person. You see? And then they go down the skate park. Jesus healed me. Who's getting glorified? See, I got prayed. A good thing happened. Someone had a need, so we prayed a good thing. You see, it's not about, oh, well, you know, Wayne Watson brought me a loaf of bread because I was hungry. He's a good man. That's not glorifying God. But when you do good things, like Jesus did good things, people begin to look at stuff a bit different. He ministered healing and forgiveness to those who were rejected. You know, there's a lot of people that have got a lot of issues going on in their lives, and people don't like being around them because they're awkward and difficult people. You know, but God picked up on those people and he prayed for them. Those who were rejected, a woman at a well. Picked her up, prayed for her. Lepers that nobody wanted to touch. All sorts of people. Sinners. What are you doing sitting with sinners, Jesus? He was happy sitting with Jesus. He sat with people and talked with them and he led them in repentance and then they followed him. That's a good thing. Leading people to the Lord is a good thing. He led people into the kingdom. You know, Jesus says, first thing Jesus said when he started his ministry was, behold, the kingdom of God has now come. Or the kingdom of heaven has now come. What he was really saying was, the kingdom of heaven now is getting established on earth. In fact, if you look at John 5, and I might have it there in my things, I don't know, might be on the end of my word here or not, I can't remember. In John chapter 5, because I was talking about the stairway, and was it last week or whenever I was talking about it, that Jacob had that dream and that stairway went up. You know, it says in John 51 anyway, the last verse. Jesus says this to his disciples. He says, you're going to see the heavens open up and you're going to see a stairway come down on the Son of Man that reaches up into the heaven and angels are going to ascend up and they're going to come down. Exactly the same thing that happened in Jacob because it's talking about the seed. We talked about that. You know, it's like, why? Because Jesus, and we're talking about us being a gateway. You see, it's like, well, Christ lives in you now, so you are the gateway. And Jesus said, you're going to see this. The exact same thing that Jacob had. Jesus says, the heavens are going to open up and you're going to see the stairway come down on the Son of Man. And angels are going to ascend up and they're going to come down. Amazing scripture. You see, it's just like, because why? He was bringing heaven and he was to earth and he was demonstrating it. People said, wow, this man's words, they've got power. They've got power. Here we go. Where's that? John 1:51. Then he said, I tell you the truth. You will see heaven open and the angels of God going up and down on the Son of Man, the one who is the stairway between heaven and earth. Now, Christ lives in you. Christ lives in you. You're the gateway now. You're the stairway. You're the portal, whatever you like. You know, when you're dealing with witches and different things, because I've had to deal with a few in my time, and I always like to get all the knowledge I can out of them when they're talking, when they're bragging about this stuff, they deal in portals all the time. Portals and channels is the two words they use, you see? Well, we've got one. It's called the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and we are actually a portal, you see? Just witches and that, they use demonic portals. They're portals, and the enemy uses them to do demonic things. But we're portals for Christ. And he uses us to do amazing things here on earth. It's that simple. The enemy's only he can't make anything. He's just a counterfeit. He builds on and steals, robs and steals things that are not his, that were not designed for him, but he will use them when we abdicate them. We'll look at some more scriptures in a minute. He healed people of sickness and fevers. Just doing a good thing. It's like, I'm sick. I got this problem. Got fevers. Got whatever. He prayed for them. He restored sight, hearing, lame to walk. Doing good things as he got around. People had needs. People come everywhere just to touch him. Many were touched. Many who touched him were healed. Just a good thing. It's just like, because when you're carrying good things, people come and just feed off you. It says as many come. They come from Syria. They come from all sorts of places to him to touch him, it says. And as many touched him, they were all healed. Not some, they were all healed. And he empowered his disciples to do the same healings and miracles that he did. It's a good thing. It's like, I want to give you some good things. See, Jesus wasn't walking around the countryside just being nice, as I said before, and saying lovely, fluffy things. He was preaching the kingdom of God and demonstrating it in power. Luke chapter 4 and verse 38 says, amazed, the people exclaimed, what authority and power this man's words possess. You see, it's like he was speaking to things and they moved and they shifted. He was shifting the things that were holding people in poverty and in sin. That were holding people in pain and in hopelessness and in sicknessness. That were holding people in judgment, in torment and in disease. And he shifted those things off their lives. You know, I love the woman at the well. Because she was rejected by the whole town, but then she went and told the whole town to come out to Jesus. That's a big shift. That's a big shift from being rejected to suddenly whatever God did to her, whatever Jesus ministered into her, changed her countenance, her personality, everything about her, her cleanliness and everything. It's like, whoa, she's carrying something, and her words had power, and they had life, and it touched everybody's hearts, and they come out to see. It's the only way that you can change people's lives is you've got to have something that when you speak cuts through all the nonsense and hits them. And she was carrying it because Jesus gave it to her, ministered into her when she was totally rejected. He addressed the cause of people's problems and restored wholeness of mind, body, and spirit. It's too much mental sickness today. He was establishing. If I had a window in there, I could see what those ladies in there are doing. You see, they're having their own church service. Yeah, that's what they're praying. Speaking in tongues. I think that's what it is. He was establishing the kingdom of heaven everywhere he went. This is so you know if you're in there, Bex, that you'll... This is what church is all about. Establishing the kingdom of heaven everywhere we're going. Not about what we like to do or what we like or what we don't like. That's not what church is about. It's not about saying, well, that's a good song, that's a bad song, don't like that, that's a bit whatever, whatever, whatever. It's not about that. It's like, let's come and have Jesus just minister and do things in our midst. We're all going to pray for one another today before we leave. This is what being a disciple of Jesus is all about. It's not about being popular and liked by people. It's actually bringing kingdom of heaven to earth and what that looks like, demonstrating it to people, praying and ministering to people. Acts 10:38, it says, he healed all those who were oppressed by devils. That's the second one. So he cast out devils. Well, we know that. We see him casting out lots of devils. But he healed generational curses and those who were cursed. And he broke that off them. He healed sickness caused by devils. We need to realize that, as I said before, that some devils are sickness. I'll give you some illustrations of this personally in a minute. You know, one of the things that we need to understand, you know, we hear one, you cast out a devil and they bring seven more back with them. I just want you to think what these seven would look like if they come back. Because they're not just all, oh, we're sitting in here and happy and just natter and whatever. They are something. They are some sort of addiction or some sort of a sickness or some sort of a curse or some sort of a pain or an asthma or something. They are something. And they sit in people's bodies. And sometimes we try and deal to this thing when actually the root cause is the very thing that brought them all in. Brought them all in. So I want to have a look at a scripture here first. Sometimes we need to deal to the spirit or the devil to bring the healing. And he forgave sins that had sickness attached to them. Sometimes sins have sickness attached to them. There's some things that you do bring curse and bring sickness. Let's have a look at some scriptures here. Mark chapter 2 and verses 3 to 5. We know the story really well, but I want you to look at this. Four men arrived carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Next one. They couldn't bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, so they dug a hole through the roof. above his head. Then they lowered the man on his mat right down in front of Jesus. We know the story. Most of us know the story. Seeing their faith, Jesus says to the paralyzed man, "My child, your sins are forgiven." I want you to think about this for a minute. This sounds a really odd sort of a thing to say. There is a paralyzed man in front of you, and you say to the paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven." Why would you say to a paralyzed person in front of you, "Your sins are forgiven"? Jesus knew this man's sickness was caused by his sin, his parents' sin, or a sin down the generational line, which was very common. You see that, especially in Old Testament. You see lots of cursings and blessings that go on generation after generation. Turn to John chapter 9, verses 1 to 3. Just carrying on with the same story, but want to look at it from another perspective because it's another story, but I want to show you something. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. "Rabbi," his disciples asked him, "why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins?" Now that's not, see, to us that sounds a stupid thing. We don't go along and say, "Well, you know, did this man sin or his parents that he's got sickness in his body?" We don't walk around doing that. But you see, these people of this day knew how it worked. This wasn't a dumb question. They weren't wanting to be stupid in front of Jesus. They wanted to know who sinned, the man or his parents, that he was born blind. I'm saying this because I want us to have an understanding that this was actually just common knowledge back in the day. But for us, we don't want to talk about this sort of thing today because it's not, you know, it's not PC. It's not the sort of thing you want to talk about, that, you know, there's things going on that we need to break off our family and shift off our family. And I know I've had to shift stuff off our family, you know. A lot of stuff, you know, that come down and break it off. All this anxiety and mental illness and, you know, all that sort of stuff. You know, and it'll always come back, Virginia. It'll always come back and have a go at you because it'll always come back and have a go at Jesus. It says the devil departed for a season, just for a season. But I'll be back to have a go to see if you've weakened or you got distracted, got into a whole lot of other things in your life and now neglected this. And I'll just slip in on the back of something and then I'll be in there, you know, while your guard's down. That's how it works. He's not silly. He's been around a long time. He knows how to work. Who sinned, this man or his parents? "It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins," Jesus answered. "This happened so the power of God could be seen in him." So this is the good works bit now. Jesus said, actually, this man hasn't sinned. This is just a sickness that's on his body. So not all sickness is devils. He said, actually, neither of them sinned. This isn't. It's about God's going to be glorified here because he's going to do a good thing. And when he does this good thing, the power of God's going to be evident and they're all going to glorify God, which is exactly what happened. And they all went around and said, "Wasn't this the blind man, da-da-da?" And everybody was asking about it. He stood up, "Yeah, I was the blind man. Jesus healed me, da-da-da." Went in and they tried to shut him down and there's all sorts of hoo-ha about Jesus healing this person because it caused such a big problem for all the religious leaders because here was someone running around saying, "Yeah, I was the blind man." Everybody knew he was the blind man from birth. And here he is now, totally healed, totally set free. Jesus done a good thing. But I want us to see that some things, sicknesses, are caused by past sins. We know rebellion and disobedience brought leprosy into people's lives. Many people who were rebellious and disobedient to God become leprous. It's just a curse. It's part of, you know, you break away. It's not a punishment. It's a choice you make to go into that. That's why we break stuff. Masonic Lodge is a classic. People don't realize that when they get into a Masonic Lodge, what they actually have to say over their life and over their family, the curse that they actually invite on if they don't keep certain things on their lives. It's like you just get stunned when you read some of those things that they actually say. And they just, "Oh yeah, I'm just going through this thing. It means nothing, da da da." No, you've actually opened yourself and invoked this on your life. That's why it's big to break, you know, when we've had people and their families in Masonic lodges, you know, and there's things going wrong. It's just sometimes it needs to go back and just cut some of those things off. because you've invoked a curse on your life. There's a lot of things that people do. I mean, I sat down with a witch one day because she was working with her son, and usually everybody gave up on her son at school. And I carried on and thinking, "Man, you're a bit different." She said, "I've never had a social worker, whatever." Well, I wasn't a social worker. I was being a chaplain at the time. But she said, "I've never had anybody like this." She said, "Can I ever talk to you?" And I said, "Oh, yeah." She said, "No, I hear you're a pastor." She said, "Yeah, I am." She said, "Well, I'm a witch." Okay, we're on there. She's sitting in the truck with me. So I said, "Let's go. Well, I'm going to suck everything out of you, you know." Well, she starts to tell me, you know, how her life's really good. And I already know it's a mess. And she says, "Oh, no, it's all good." And it's like, "You tell me, it's like your husband's just hung himself, so he's dead. You've got one son in prison that they want to send back to Australia because you gave him birth there now. You've got this boy that's with me now that's going to be kicked out of school. And you, now you've got this problem with your bowel, and it looks like you're going to have to have an operation to get your bag on. So tell me, you know, what exactly is good that's happening in your life?" So she got out of the truck and left. But she was convincing me that she's a good person doing good things. It's like, no, you haven't. So I wanted her to understand you're bringing curse on your life. And it went on. They had claw marks down their backs. I had to kick demons sitting in a chair playing ball, throw it to an empty chair, throw it back. I had to kick those things out of her house because it was keeping her son up at night. She thought it was fun for a while, but then it's just like, well, this isn't so much fun. He used to walk in there, he used to about cut you off at the knees. It was that cold, it was like ice. It was just about cut you off. Then she would ring me up. I was taking her on this journey to get her saved. She'd ring me up, I got demons trying to get in my room. And she's swearing and cursing at the demons over the phone while she's talking to me. I'm thinking, that's no use. No use swearing and cursing at the demons. So we went in there and I started to say, "Right, this is what we're going to do. We're going to throw all this stuff out and we're going to start renouncing some stuff." Well, she was quite happy after a while. See, it all looked good until you actually start doing some things, and then next minute, bang, they have to show themselves for what they are. And suddenly she thinks, "I don't think I like this anymore." Long, lot of stories in that. Sometimes you've got to get amongst some of these people to get some interesting stories, but we'll move on. I got lots of stories, trust me. But in this story, we see this man's blindness wasn't caused by sin. It was God's opportunity, or Jesus' opportunity, to do good and to see the power in him. Let's go back to Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says, God gave Jesus Nazareth the Holy Spirit and with power, anointed him with Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. You know, sometimes it's just an oppression. It's just a thing that comes on you. It's like, this comes on you, okay? I'm releasing this on you. It doesn't have to actually be in you. You don't have to have a demon in you. It just comes on you. And you actually have to take this thing off. I was telling a story. I'll tell you a story about, because this guy's not here today. I won't mention his name or anything. But he came up for prayer. And he asked me for prayer. I says to him, God spoke to me and says, "I don't want you to pray for his healing. I want you to pray for thus, thus, and thus." And so I'm sitting there thinking, well, this is really interesting. So I says to him, now he was under a specialist. He was seeing a specialist. He'd been seeing a specialist for quite some time. Him and his wife were really upset. They both came up and they were crying because it was quite an embarrassing thing. And he didn't even really want to tell me about it all. But anyway, told me what it was there in front of the thing here. So I prayed. I says to him, "Now, I'm not going to pray for your healing. I'm going to pray for this issue that God just says to me." Because I had felt it that strong, even when I got home, I sent him an email describing exactly what God had spoke to me. That's how clear it was when I went to pray for him. I prayed for him, he went down. Actually, what I did, I reached around, took a hold of him. I felt there was something attached in his back. So I reached around in his lower back, Danny, and I pulled this hook up and out of him, and I named the thing, and I pulled this thing out of him, and he went down on the ground, collapsed on the ground, boom. When he was down there, God showed him this big black cloud just moving away off him with two big hooks coming down off it, on big strings, the big hooks coming down. Because he had another family member in the meeting, he says, "Do you think that's for my family member? That's actually, you're breaking that off their life too." I said, "No, we're here for God just dealing with you." So we had to wait a while because he was under a specialist till he got a few weeks, and he went back to specialist and everything because he wanted the specialist. The specialist said, "I don't know what's happened here, but you are totally healed." He'd been healed from that day, but he wanted the specialist to say because no problems had happened. There was a lot of blood and things involved. So, you know, he knew whether he was healed or not. But he was totally healed, you see. The thing was, this thing that was attached in him was actually bringing the sickness. when I spoke to this thing and took it out, the sickness went with it. You see? And it was a control issue from family, actually. It was his family, and I said, you know, this is what's happening. This is what your family is doing to you. This is what they have over you, and da-da-da-da-da, and I told a whole lot of things. And I broke that thing, and I actually unhooked it out of his lower back. That's what I felt to do, walk around behind him. Actually, I didn't. I just reached around behind him, pulled it out, and bang, down he went. So he got up, and he testified about that at church in Darfield. And so I just want you to understand, it's like, you know, it's a very real thing. Sometimes we try to deal with things. Now, I've heard heaps of testimonies of these sort of things, and I could go on some others, but I just want to show you, give you an example of how these things work. And so here we have this blind man. This paralyzed, the blind man didn't need the healing from oppression of devils, but the paralyzed man was a different kettle of fish. Jesus says, your sins are forgiven over him. And all the people got all upset about that. And so in Mark chapter 2 and verse 10, just a few verses down, this is what it says. Jesus said, so I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth, not just in heaven, but he has the authority on earth because I'm establishing heaven on earth now. So I have this authority on earth, is what he's saying. And I will prove to you that I just don't have this authority in heaven, but I have it on earth to forgive sins. Then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, you can stand up, pick up your mat and go home. So he picked up his mat and went home. He proved to the people that he had the power to forgive sins by now saying, you can get up and go home now because this thing has been broken off your life. I want us to understand, you know, that Jesus did good things and he brought healing to those who were oppressed. Where the enemy was having a stronghold or dictating and stipulating over people's lives. Today it's called repentance. Nikki and I have learned quite some time ago, before we ever come up here, that one of the best ways if you want to shift stuff out of people's lives is you position them right in God. We call it positioning them right. What's positioning them right? Jack asked me this one day, saying, you know, you've got to position yourself in the right place. And it is actually dealing with things in your life that aren't yielded over or given over to God. And sometimes there is unforgiveness in their hearts. So I'll talk to unforgiveness. You know, when you're dealing with people or you're dealing with yourself, unforgiveness just stops everything. The Bible talks like this. Heaven's just become like brass. There's a few things that make the heaven like brass, which means your prayers aren't going anywhere. One is if you don't honor your wife. Just says it very clearly. Honor your wife that your prayers may not be hindered. That's what the scripture says. So that brass, not looking after the widows and not looking after the orphans will make heaven like brass. There's four things there that we see in scripture. You know, and unforgiveness is one of those things. You just want to, you want your prayers not to be heard, keep unforgiveness in your heart. And so people don't position themselves right because they've got a whole lot of things. There's hurt. A lot of these things come because there's been wrong done in people's lives. There's been abuse. There's been things said, things done, you know, betrayal, all sorts of things that happens in our lives sometimes. I understand most of those things in my life and had to work through them. I remember going up and praying for my dad, actually, running up a hill, praying over my dad. Didn't mean one word of it, but I just prayed God would bless him. And then I just spoke life and whatever over the town that I was in at the time, and God just did some amazing things, you know. But it's just like, I'm just going to declare it, whether I want to or not, because this thing is not going to have power in my life. It was wrong. It was so wrong. Some things that people do for all different sorts of reasons, but it's not going to have power over me. I want God to come and move through me. I want him to move on the church. I want him to move in your hearts. So there's some things that we have to position ourselves right. You know, we have to surrender. We actually have to repent. You know, Jesus brought people into repentance. It's like Zacchaeus up a tree. Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your home today. Actually, I'm coming into your life today. I'm coming actually to introduce myself to you today. And Zacchaeus said, you know, I've done a lot of wrong in my life. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to undo all of that wrong and I'm going to make it all right. I'm going to give so much more money than I've ever taken from anybody. I'm going to give it to them however many times. And he did it. That's called repentance. We caught you ladies in there speaking in tongues. We heard you speaking in tongues and prophesying over your children and everything. We were actually quite enjoying it out here. We just thought, wow, I was feeling quite a lift. Is that right, Bex? I'm just warning Bex when she's in there. It's just like we'll be hearing her. Good on yous. We enjoyed it. So today it's called repentance. So we have to position ourselves sometimes and position others. And then you pray for people and suddenly, bang, that stronghold is gone out of people. I've just prayed for people, you know, and it's not that people don't kick and dive and thrust and jump all over the place, but I have found, Nikki and I both found, that you get people in the right place and you work with them and you get them loving God, you get shifting all of the stuff and that's wronged in their life, and then you just pray about some stuff like that, and then suddenly, boom, they are broke. It's broke free and it just leaves just like that. Just goes, just disappears. Sometimes we get all sorts of things around our heads, our necks, our teeth, our jaws, our body gets tense and whatever. I mean, I had to deal with some stuff because I didn't actually want to take on it, and it took me a while to find out what it was, you know. And actually, Lance answered me. He said, well, you know, da-da-da, what's this rash on your back, Wayne, that you're stressing? Because I said, I knew you were stressing out because I had this itchy stuff on my back. It just nearly driving me insane. So, you know, it's a different things. I get over one and then it pops up somewhere else and I'm thinking I'm under stress from something, you know, and da-da-da. And I just said, well, there's nothing actually, you know, da-da-da. It's just like, and then I happened to mention the golf club and it's like, ah, crumbs, that's what it is. It's like because they asked me to take over and run some things and I just didn't really want to. And in fact, I was going to leave. I was going to leave the club. I was going to leave everything actually, just walk away from golf because I just didn't want the stress of all of this and da-da-da. And it was annoying me. And then God just spoke to me. Boom. It's just like, no, Wayne, I want to put you there for this reason. Da 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 da. It's just like, boom, the stress disappeared, the itch disappeared off my back. I'm in there, and it's like, yeah, I'm upsetting everybody and everything. And it's just like, you have no idea, you know? And it's just like, and I know what I'm fighting. I go in there, it's like yesterday, I turn up there, so I got it all ready. Everything's set up 2 days before, whiteboard, everything marked in there. I'm shifting some things around. We'll put longest drive on number 8. For the men and the ladies. I go there, it's like it's rubbed off the board. I got all these women come to me and they're into me. It's like, you can't do this, sponsors this and da-da-da and whatever. It's just like, and I go in there and the guy says, oh, it's a bit of mayhem. Yeah, I said, I met it before I got even in the club. They cornered me everywhere, shouting at me and telling me what I can't do and whatever, and it's wrong and you da-da-da-da-da. So I go up there and I wrote longest drive number 8 back on the whiteboard. I went outside, I said, excuse me, everybody, listen to me. This is our rules today. Longest drive's on number 8. I know I'm doing a naughty thing and you don't like it, but that's the rule today. When they finished, I had some march right up to me when I was doing all the scores and different things and says, this will not be happening again because this is wrong, so this will be the last time this is happening. Okay, next week I'll put it, next week I'll put it on maybe number 10. It makes no difference. It's like you're just upsetting things, you know, and it's just like, and it just comes. And I sat down with a guy, you know, and I says, you know, this is weird, you know, because this is so stupid, it's so trivial, and it's whatever, and it's like, and I took one other person aside, and I says, you know, what is all this about? You know, it's like, this can be fun, or it can be just a lot of nonsense. I couldn't play a full day of golf there last week, and so I had Ian Wright here, and then he said, well, just shoot away, and I had to go down, I thought, oh, I'll just play 9 holes and do whatever. So I went with the 9 holers to start later. So I won the 9 holers. So the ladies get really upset at me because they're a bit older. You know, it's just like, you can't enter our competition, whatever. And they lay the law down and da-da-da. And it's just like, well, I'm the boss now, so I'm making the law and this is the law. That's it. You know, well, one lady will stuff you. I won't be coming back here. Rah, rah, rah. And I'm down there trying to calm them down. Everybody's waiting for me to do all the prize giving and everything else. And here it's just like, but I'm telling you, I'm fighting a spirit. And I'm breaking mindsets. I am. I'm shifting it. You see, and I know exactly what I'm shifting. And I'm just speaking into this thing. It just comes. And I said, in some ways, I just, you know, but I can't be seen to being a horrible person. It's like, I understand, but it's like, we just need to change. Wouldn't it be nice just for people to come along here and be able to play 9 holes and be welcomed and be loved and not to be, she said, well, you can play, but you're not going in our competition and you won't get any prizes. thought, you cow. That's recorded. You don't know her name. Yeah. So very gracefully I said, I will not receive first prize today. I will give the prize to you. But then I stood up and somebody else had won something who'd come from another club. And I just said, now excuse me, nine holers, you're all here today. In front of all the thing. See, this guy comes from another club. He's won our competition in the 18 holes today. Da, da, da. Everybody thought, what the hang's Wayne going on about? So from now on, nine holers, I just want this, everybody in the golf club to know this. If you want to come and play nine holes on a Saturday, you can come and be welcome and you'll be in the competition and da, 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 da. There, said, done. Now it's law. And everybody thought, come to me, said, what the hang was all that about? It's just like, yeah, I'm just changing some things, I said. But I'm being open about it, but I'm shifting something. I'm being serious here today because we have to speak to some things. You're going to have to speak to some things in school. You're going to have to speak to some things in your work. You're going to have to speak some, it doesn't matter where you are in community, you know. And it's not about being horrible to people. I'm not being horrible to people. I'm actually just shifting some things because it's all about control. And it's all about, you know, people dictating, and they don't do nice things, and people don't feel nice around certain things. And so you've got to shift this stuff. And in the spirit realm, there's a lot of other things are attached to this. You know, and so sometimes God puts us in a place, and it has helped me see some things that I was actually overlooking a wee bit, actually. So I know what God was doing now when he said, go down there. But not all sickness and not all struggles or pain are from the devil. I want us to understand that. It's not all, but there are some things, and I want us to be aware of that. So Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit. You see, he needed the Holy Spirit to speak to him and guide him and reveal things to him about what was going on. If we want to do good, we need the Holy Spirit and power. We don't just get that by doing church or just being nice in community. Jesus preached, taught, and demonstrated the kingdom of God, and he brought the kingdom of God to heaven, as I said before. Matthew 4:17. From then on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near, or actually means has come, depending on what translation you're reading. From then on, Jesus began to preach, repent. See, he's speaking repentance. So he's not giving, there's no ground for the devil. There's no ground for sin. There's no ground for sickness. There's no ground for anything. Repent and turn to God so that the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God has come to be established. That's what he preached. And then he demonstrated it. Jesus went everywhere establishing the kingdom of heaven on earth. That's our job. No, we weren't there. We're doing that one already. Oh, sorry. We'll go back to that because it's not just verse 30. Have we got verse 39? I haven't got that on my thing, so you probably won't have it. Acts 10, 38, 39, 40, and 41. I didn't put it. You've got it? It says there, and we apostles are witnesses of all that he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross, and God raised him to life on the third day. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to those of us who God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. So you've been called. Jesus wants to reveal himself to you today as the risen Christ. And tomorrow and the next day, he wants to reveal himself as this person. He revealed himself to these disciples. I am the Christ. I've risen from the dead. This is who I am. Because he wants you to understand who he is and empower you so that we will become his witnesses. It's like you have a godly encounter like that that changes your mindset and your concept of who God is. It's not about, oh, well, we should be doing this and we should be doing this and it's nice to do this. It's like understand what God's saying to you and respond to that. Understand to the call of God on your life, whatever that might be and whatever God's bringing you into, and respond to that. When you hear the Holy Spirit saying some things to you, it's like go with that. It's really easy to miss some things. I made a decision at Darfield last week, and I was sitting there, I got up to preach, I got up to do something, and I felt this word, this is what I felt. God spoke to me, and he says, a love song, That's all I got, a love song. I'm thinking, okay. And I was going to say, has someone here got a love song or whatever? And I'm thinking, what are you saying? What are you saying? And then Nikki was singing a wee bit and just something in this, like, okay, God wants to sing a love song over us. So I said, God wants to sing a love song over us. And I was just like, let's just move on. You know, it's like, you know, it's like, he wants to sing a love song over for us. And it's just like, oh, okay. So I said that. And then just, oh, there's a bit of a presence coming. It's just like, whoa, and you felt it. Just like, oh, that's a bit different. Next minute, God speaks to me and says, this, this, and this. So I say it. I'm thinking, I didn't know if I felt comfortable saying that, but anyway, I said it. And next minute, God moved. Next minute, someone sings. Next minute, in a song, bang, that's it. And it was just amazing. All I had to do was not do anything. Just say, oh, I'm here now. It's just like, yeah, God says something. Wow, love song. Yeah, that's all right. It's doesn't sound very exciting or powerful or whatever. But God actually wants to have intimacy with us. He does. And so that's what it was all about. He come to have it with us. And it was very humbling, I'm telling you. It was very humbling. I went away just feeling so full and so fat. We were laughing. Oh, I was laughing. I just thought, man, this is just amazing. It's like, you can't get any more in, but you're poking it in anyway. And then it says in verse 42 here, so God wants to us to catch who he is and what he wants to do. And in verse 42, and he says, and he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all. And he ordered us to preach. That's not a maybe. This is what you need to be doing. You need to be sharing the kingdom of God with people. Not a maybe. He ordered us. When you've been apprehended by God, when you come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, then part of the condition is, now I want you to tell people about who I am. And then it says, and preach and to testify that Jesus is the one. Now, how do you testify without a testimony? How do we testify without a testimony? How are we going to testify of God? You know, and it's not, well, this happened 20 years ago. It's like, well, what have you been doing since in the last 20 years? That there isn't a testimony now. There has to be an ongoing testimony of the good things that God is doing in your life. What are the good things that God is doing? The miracles, the power, the changing, the transformation, the shift, whatever they are, what are those testimonies? Sit down and talk to some people about, well, this is what I was thinking, this is what I was doing, this is what needed to happen, and I never prayed for Gary before. Father, we just thank you right now for Gary and Nicole, Father. We just pray right now, Lord, for your healing just to continue to come on them, to rest on them. We thank you, Lord, for total peace and confidence, Lord, in you just resting on them, Father, and you would just totally strengthen and restore Gary to his full health in Jesus' name. Amen. I just popped in there, so we do it while it's there. So in the same way, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, it says this, in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. So what's really happening? Your testimony. And he said, he ordered them to preach and to testify of who he was. And so our testimony is letting these good deeds shine. And then people will glorify. In closing today, Jesus went around doing good in the demonstration of power. We are also to let our light shine, the same demonstration in good deeds, in our good deeds to others. Our Heavenly Father wants to give us good things. I wonder what those good things are that God wants to give us today. If you, as earthly fathers, know how to give good things, then how much more will your Father in heaven give you good things for those who ask? Good things. That's miracles. That's healings. That's deliverance. That's shifting of atmospheres. That's change in your family. That's breaking curses and agreements that are, what's the right word there? It'll come to me in a minute. Unlawful attachments. You know, sometimes there's unlawful attachments or unlawful agreements that get attached to your life. Unlawful. Unlawful is something in the spirit realm that is not right, but is attached through a circumstance or something. You know, sometimes you go through trauma and something attaches itself. It's why I prayed when we had that shooting in Christchurch. It's why I spoke to an atmosphere over Leeston about the innocence that was suddenly taken away. It's why, you know, I'm aware that when we're talking about these things, because I don't want anything coming. Grief's one thing, but there's other things that will come and try and attach itself in the midst of trauma and sadness and all the stuff, and you can sit under that thing and it'll come and sit on you. You know, and then you'll find that, and then something else comes up, and then you find yourself, you know, getting all emotional and crying and whatever, and this happens and da-da-da. It's just like this thing, we have an answer. We recognize that. We can grieve with those who grieve, but we have an answer and we have a hope. And we need to understand that we can minister to that to people. That love and goodness, whatever it needs, shifting that stuff away off their life. I understand the pain of death. But our Heavenly Father wants to give us some good things. So let's just stand this morning. Maybe we can have the singers come, and we're going to finish with a song. But before we do, I want us to place a hand on the person next to you today, and I want us to release a new awareness of Christ's power on them today. And if there's anyone of you want prayer, lift your hand if you want prayer for some healing today, because it's just going to happen one there. Whatever it is, it can be spiritual, can be mental, can be physical. Just put so that the person beside you can see that, because they're going to pray. Say, pray for one another. Pauline and Paul. Paul and Pauline. Ian and Paul and Paul and Ian. Just pray for one another for that healing, but also to release that awareness of Christ's power on us today. And I'm just going to pray while you're doing that so you don't all feel awkward in that. But we just want to have we want to keep this going. Well, I want us just to say, well, you know, I don't know if I've got much of a testimony. It's like, I want us to be aware what we're carrying and just imparting this and just, you know, minister, don't just say today, well, this is just a prayer. It's not just a prayer. We're actually releasing something today on one another. So let's just do that as I pray. Father, right now, Lord. Lord, we just pray, Father, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to come right now. Lord, for your Holy Spirit just to rest, Father, Lord, upon every person here right now. Father, as we are praying for one another right now, Lord, as we are imparting, Lord, afresh into one another right now, Lord, let your Holy Spirit bring the revelation, Lord, the revelation that is needed, that we are, Father, Lord, the authority in our environment. Lord, that you, Father, by your Holy Spirit can speak to us. Lord, we're releasing, Father, Lord, afresh today, Father. Lord, an awareness of what you are saying by your Holy Spirit, whether it's by feeling, whether it's by hearing, whether it's by seeing, Lord. Lord, that you are releasing today, Father, by your Holy Spirit, Father, a fresh awareness of what it is you are saying and leading us into, Lord, and a new authority, Father, to actually pray and to speak, whether it's an atmosphere, whether it's a person, Father, that we can just pray and minister into that, Lord. Hope, life, healing, and restoration. Life in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for that this morning. Thank you right now, Holy Spirit, for just strengthening, Lord. Just strengthening, Father. Just strengthening faith. Holy Spirit, Koranda ba 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 shi under the bay. Oh, randa ba kari under ba sititi under the bar renda bobos. Thank you, Holy Spirit, right now. Lord, just coming, Lord, on this place, upon people, Father. Father, we're going to see greater things, greater testimonies. Lord, more and more good things, Lord, happening. Father, Lord, as you move, Father, Lord, in our communities and in our hearts, Lord. And Father, Lord, are you just going to speak, Father, Lord, through us, Lord, to bring good things into our community, into our businesses, into our schools, into homes and into lives, Father. Transforming, Father. Restoring. Healing, Father, people in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you for it, Jesus.